Okay, welcome everybody. It's nice to have you here in the Erev, I don't know, Erev Pesach, whatever we call today. But they have half a day in school today. That's why I'm back in school today. Normally, I'm not because the day's earlier, whatever. Anyway, but I just went learning today. Torah Motion is dedicated in memory of Lauren Shore by her parents, Ian and Shelley Shore. Yahrzeit, I believe her seventh Yahrzeit is tomorrow. To have a long life and to come together for happy occasions. Okay, who remembers what we spoke about last year or 2 years ago on the Haggadah Shiur? If nobody remembers, see, Baruch Hashem, okay, so I'll just say the same thing over, right? Like the rabbi every year in Yom Kippur, the same speech, the same sins, right? So at Baruch Hashem, I have my notes. So I'll try, we're going to try to say things that are different if there's one or two overlaps. I actually probably going to overlap a little bit more with my podcast, but hopefully not too much. Try to do other things. So let's start. Basically, the last 2 years when we did the Haggadah class, and, you know, instead of the Siddur class, we got up to more or less Tetzei Olmad by Lavan. You know, we did Halach Manya, Manishtana, the five rabbis, the questions, the four children, etc. But I just want to go back and discuss a couple. Not go back, actually, it's going forward. Discuss one of the major goals of the Seder. In every generation, a person must see themselves as if they had left Egypt. This is a very difficult thing. We'll come back to that in a moment. And basically, that's what we do at the Seder. We reenact the journey from slavery to freedom. And that, of course, is very crucial. Freedom, you know, evil, a good is in respect to evil, right? Something that doesn't have the potential for bad has no potential for good. I always like to say this is like the spiritual rule of Newton's third rule of motion. For every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. And we do believe that in the Torah, everything spiritual and physical go together. God created a spiritual world and a physical world, and the same rules that apply, there's spiritual sickness, physical sickness. So too in the spiritual world, if something cannot be used for good, you know, for evil, it can't be used for good. And the greater, you know, the greater the potential, our speech. So our speech has tremendous potential to do good and good or bad. Sexuality is a major area. You know, it can be terrible sins or it's kiddushah. So freedom and slavery are the same thing. The freedom gets its meaning because we appreciate our slavery. Total freedom is anarchy. Like I said in class the other day, here in chat, you know, if there were no red lights, would that make you more free or less free how to drive? I mean, it's a silly example, but I think we all understand if there were no red lights, driving would be a lot worse. I mean, unless you're crazy, because you come to every intersection, you have to stop every one time when there's a blackout. It takes five times as long to get anywhere. So the restriction of a red light gives us the freedom to drive. Okay, that's just a little silly example. But of course, being free, there is an element. The slavery and freedom are not, there's an element we transfer that our slavery from Paro. I don't want to call it slavery, call it service unto God. And I would say most importantly in this context, when we serve God, that frees us from being a slave to man. We're all slaves. We're all on some level. You know, we're slaves to money, to power, to work. I don't know. Everybody in there, to our peer group pressure. That's when you do things that you don't really do, but you do because there's all kinds of pressure. So that's a form of servitude. The truth of the matter, being an employee is a form of slavery, which is why the halakha says in theory, I don't know that in with Dina de Malchuta Dina, you have to follow the laws of the country. But in a theoretical sense, a Jew can quit his job with no notice. You can come after lunch, say, I don't like this job, and walk out. Because the halacha understood that without that psychological ability to quit, a worker is a slave. So the idea that when one services God, when one serves God, that frees us from man. You know, if we're worried, if you can focus yourself, you have an overarching goal, and your overarching goal is to serve God, that frees you from being, you know, doing all the things that you have to do, man. I mean, Shabbos is the best example. Being an accountant in tax season, something I used to do years ago. You know that you can walk out of the office at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon when everybody's staying till midnight, and coming in on Saturday morning. That's what it means to be free. But anyway, The Seder is the transition from, of course, from slavery to freedom. Also want to add that, of course, two people can do the same thing, the exact same thing. And for one person, it's a form of slavery. And for one person, it's liberating, right? I don't know. Let's give another bad example. You have to work out, say two people are working out. So one person really hates it. He can't stand exercising. It's such a burden. And one person, he feels so invigorated. They're doing the exact same thing, but your approach to it makes all the difference in the world. And I think that is really what the question of the Russia, in the Torah, the question of the Russia is not a Russia. If we look in the Torah, it says that, when you come to the land of Israel, you should keep this avodah. I didn't put up to share it, whatever you'll, it's Perek Yud Beit and Shmot. When you come, you should keep this service, avodah. And when you come to Israel, shmartem at avodah zot. And you should keep this avodah. Vayaki emru lechem b'nechem, avodah zot lechem. So your children are going to say to you, what is this avodah? It's a great question. It's a great question. Vamartem zevach pasachu l'ashem al. You should tell him, this is a paschal sacrifice to God. He passed over our homes and he whipped the Egyptians. He killed the Egyptians. In the Torah itself, there's no reason to believe this is the question of the Russia. Of course, in the Torah itself, there can't be four different children. I mean, of course, there are many different children. But the way the Haggadah presents it, okay, this part of the Torah is talking to the Chacham. And this part of the Torah talks to the Russia. That's not true. Every part of the Torah talks to everybody, right? The midrash of the four children, which only appears here in, this is the main source for it. They're manipulating the psukim in the Torah, right? The ma'avodat lechem could be for a chacham, and that's what it's for everybody asking. And that's why the Haggadah doesn't give the same answer as the Torah gives. In other words, when you look at the question of the Tam, and the Sheinoyo de Lishua, so the Tam says, Mazot, what's this? That's in the Torah, by Pijon Abayin, redemption of the firstborn. And you tell him, Bechozek Yerot, Yashem, Mitzrayim, God took us out with a strong hand. Or Sheinoyo de Lishua, who doesn't ask a question, but you got to tell a Bincha, Bayamu Leimor, those are direct quotes from the Torah. But by the Rasha, and by the Chacham, the Torah, the Haggadah substitutes a different answer. For perhaps a variety of approaches to why. But what we're saying now is for the Russia, the Haggadah has to substitute a different approach because in the Haggadah, in the Torah, he's not a Russia. In the Torah, he's a nice guy. He's a curious kid. The parents said, we're going to do this. He wants to know, what do we have to do? What is this all about? What the Haggadah did is they took it into the child, the son of the Russia. And I think perhaps it all depends how you translate the word avodah. In the Torah, in the context of the Rasha, Maha Avodah Zot Lachem, Ushmartem Et Avodah Zot, you should do this service, that's Avodat Hashem. Avodat, Al Shloshat Vreim Olam Amed, it's one of the three pillars of the world. Tfilah, Ezu Avodah Shevaleh, Tfilah, prayer is Avodah, all service of God, all the Korbanot, we're reading Sefer Vayikra, that's Avodah. So in the Avodah is a beautiful thing. But let me just show you here, because avodah can also mean work, can also mean backbreaking work. And it's all the attitude. And here is you have, of course, if you go to, let's see if I can find it here. Five times. Perek Aleph, Sefer Shmot. Vayabidu Mitzrayim, Vayabidu, they make them work hard. Parach. Parach means useless work, right? Generally, the halach. Avodat parach means work that has no purpose. Just you're the boss and you're going to make your employee work, but you don't. It's not productive work. That's how the hard work. Okay, you have to do hard work. Fine. If it has some goal purpose, that's okay. And then it says vayimaruachayim. They embitter them because people when they work useless work, that's terrible. It's again the same work. If the same work serves a purpose, it's wonderful. It's freedom. If that same work is useless, it's slavery. They embittered our lives ba'avodah kasha with hard work. B'chomer v'leim, all the bricks, b'chol avodah basadeh, et kol avodatam, asher abdu behem b'park. So five times. In two verses, the word avodah appears five times. That avodah, of course, is the avodah backbreaking work. And to the Rasha in the Seder, what the Haggadah does is they say, Ma'avodah zot lachem. That's like, oh, what's this work for you? This is hard work. To worship God is meaningless work. It's avodah parah. Who needs it? It's silly. It's all in how you interpret it. So the word avodah, I think that's very important. The word avodah can mean service of God, or it can mean a burden. And of course, for some people, service of God is the most liberating idea. And because when you serve God, like I said, it frees you from so much else. It frees you from all the pressures of man. They have one goal, to serve God. Or serving God can be the biggest burden in the world, where kids, you know, their parents make them, and they have to do it, the schools make them, and they really hate it. So everything is really all about avodah. It's all about attitude towards things, where the same idea can be freedom or slavery. And that's why that piece of matzah, right? Rabbi Min spoke on Sunday, on Yom Iyun. Basically, what we have at the Seder, when we begin the Seder, is halach ma'anya. It's the bread of affliction. It's bread we ate because we were slaves. And the end of the Haggadah, the end of Magid, Rabbi Gamliel says we eat matzah because we left Egypt, right? That's the average Jew in this room. Why do we eat matzah? So I think most people will tell you, because we left Egypt in a hurry and we didn't have time to bake our bread. And these really, they're two opposite ideas. Is bread halach manya, or is bread the bread of freedom? And Rabbi Vincent, basically that's our transition. We that's the story. How the same matzah can become the matzah of servitude, and that same matzah can be the matzah of freedom. That's why it's important. It's the same piece of food can be both. By the way, you have that by a lot of the foods. You have that, let's say, on charoset, right? Why do we eat charoset? Somebody? Why do we eat charoset? Not a trick question.
I'll remind us of the bricks.
Remind us of the what? Of the bricks, right? Bricks. Of the mortar, right? Yeah. Right. That's one reason. What's this other reason we eat charoset?
The apple tree?
Right. What about the apple tree? The faith of the Jewish people, the faith especially of the women who seduced their husbands underneath the trees in the fields, because, you know, like the famous Midrash that Amram separated from Yocheved, and it was Miriam who convinced him to remarry, and our sages assume, I don't know if they mean it literally, but the Jewish woman would go out into the fields and seduce their husbands so they could have kids, and that the charoset is made up. I remember Rav Schechter telling us, I don't know if anybody actually does this, but he says the ingredients for the charoset should be all the fruits mentioned in Shir HaShirim, the love song, the God and Jewish people, the husband and the wife coming together. It's the charoset reminds us of the tremendous faith of the woman. So the same food can be for negative purposes or positive purposes. And that's, of course, a very Jewish idea. You know, the same act, and it's all how you use it. And your attitude toward and what you're doing. Now, of course, in Sefer Shemot begins with the Jewish people building, Pitom and Ramses, building slave work, Avodah Parah. And of course, how does the book end? How does Sefer Shemot end? With the building of the Mishkan. Basically, Sefer Shemot, I mean, the first 11 chapters is the background, by the way, which coincidentally, I would say, the first 11 chapters in Sefer Bereshit are background. This first 11 chapters, we meet Avram in chapter 12. Okay, we meet it. He's born in the chapters are made up, of course, but Avram is born at the end of chapter 11, right? Terach had three kids, and Terach is the first person going to Aliyah. We'll get them here. He's mentioned in the Seder, of course. Terach's the first Zionist. Terach's a good guy. In the Torah, Terach is a wonderful person. I mean, the Torah stops. Everybody, whenever the Torah stops to elaborate, usually something good. So everybody has one kid, you know, from Adam to Noah. By Noah, we stop. Noah has three kids. And then we go Noah to Terach. Everybody's one kid, you know, lots of kids, but one can mention nothing about them. We come to also three kids. Adam had three kids. Noah had three kids. Terach had three kids. Right? And Terach goes on Aliyah and he doesn't succeed. The Midrash portrays it as Terach was an idol worshiper, but I've said many times, it's only because Terach was an idol worshiper, I think, that Avram became Avram Avinu. In other words, Avram grew up in a religious home, and maybe the religion was misguided, but that's okay. That was Avram's job to fix it, but it's much better to grow up in the home of Avodah Zarah than in the secular home. And assuming we're doing Avodah Zarah is an ideological mistake, which is exactly how the Rambam defines Avodah Zarah. it was a mistake. They want you to serve as God. So Terach in the Torah, there's nothing bad about him. He's a great guy. And basically, Avraham Avinu was called upon to complete his journey to Eretz Yisrael. So we say in the, when we say in the Haggadah, I always, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avotenu, which according to Rav, I think, is where our Seder begins, right? Are we supposed to begin the Seder Avadim Hayinu, physical slavery, or our spiritual degradation, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah? So that's a debate. And presumably, you either say one or the other. Either focus on Avadim Hayinu, we were physical slaves and God made us free, or we focus on our spiritual degradation, right? The Mishnah said, you have to start with the negative and go to the praise. So which is it? So we do both. We do both. But Mitkilo of the Avodah Zarah, so I always ask him, which one are our potenus, the Avodah Zarah? So in the paragraph, you're going to say refers to Terach, because they quote Terach was on the Abernar and the father did Avodah Zarah. Okay. But I don't know. Last time I checked, Terach wasn't one of our Avotenus. So Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah Yovotenu is obviously, I think, unless somebody wants to think I misunderstand it, I don't see any other way to understand it. Of course, it's Avram. Avram Avinu, the Torah, the Haggadah doesn't want to mention Avram worshiped idols. Not nice. So, but mention Terach. He grew up in Terach somewhere. I mean, that's how the Midrashim say. He went to his father and said, this doesn't make sense. Obviously, Terach raised Avraham to, you know, worship quote unquote idols. So, anyways, the first 11 chapters of Bereishit is the lead up to why we have Avraham. The first 11 chapters in the book of Shemot is the lead up to the Exodus. It's God's, the birth of Moses. Okay. The nation become slaves. They forgot about Yosef. Our God forgets about Yosef too, right? Yosef's not mentioned in Haggadah. It's very strange. Why is Yosef not mentioned in the Haggadah? You're telling the story of Egypt. We mentioned Lavan, okay? Yaakov, it took 30 years. What does it say? Vayered Mitzrayma, right? Lavan persecuted us. Vayered Arami Oved Avi, which in the Torah means Yaakov was a wandering Aramean. That's the pshat in the Chumash. It's not talking about Lavan. The Haggadah interprets Arami as Lavan Arami. Oveit, he persecuted. But and the pshat is, of course, is talking Yaakov. Some say it's actually talking about Abraham, whatever. But the way the Haggadah interprets it, an Aramean sought to destroy my father and he went to Egypt. When did we went to Egypt? 30 years later. He leaves Lavan's house. Yosef's a little boy, right? They leave. Yosef is maybe 6 years old when they leave. They go back home, and then Yosef, it takes another 30 years till they go to Egypt. So we talk about Lavan, we talk about Terach. Why don't we talk about Yosef? That's where the story really begins.
Well, he wasn't to blame for what happened. It really was Lavan who started the whole thing.
Who says we're talking about blame? Why do we have to start the story on blame? And by the way, who says he wasn't to blame? He was a little image. I hate to say
I think
it.
He had a chelik in it.
I'm sorry. Of course he had a chelik in it. The rabbis criticized him. And they criticized, you know, it wasn't so smart of Yosef. His father got mad at him. He's bragging about his dreams. And he cares about his good looks. That's right. I remember how Nechama Leibowitz pointed this out when I had the school to have her as a teacher when I was... So it says by Yosef, when does the Torah tell us Yosef was good looking and handsome, right? When does the Torah tell us that? So normally
it tells us the person who's good looking when you're Potiphar's wife.
I'm sorry?
It's when he resists Potiphar's wife.
Exactly. And what? How do Chazal understand that verse? Why does it say that? Because Yosef was concerned about it. He went to the hairdresser and he got to fancy. In other words, Yosef was, he was successful. He forgot about his past. He didn't let his parents know. Why shouldn't he want to forget about his past? I mean, what his brothers did to him. He's made it in Egypt. He's going to become an Egyptian. And the brothers don't even recognize him, And he's like, you're worried about the looks. Not going to be so good for you. So now Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. The rabbis are criticizing him. But I don't think maybe a little bit. I think it's even the greater. In other words, the rabbis don't want to mention Yosef because it's very negative. The whole story, it's the sins of the Jewish people for selling him. I don't know. But it is very strange because obviously, as and even from what I've said now, what we've said in the past, this is not the story of the, it's not the story when, like the historical story of the Exodus, right? The purpose of history, any history, is, but very much Jewish history, is not to tell a story. It's to derive the lessons of history. We don't tell the story. And that's why we don't tell the story from Sefer Shmot. We tell the story from Sefer Dvarim. We tell the story from the perspective of the farmer. Arami Obed Aviv, that's the story of the Bikurim. The farmer, we're 1500 years later after Egypt. So we're not telling the story as is. We're drawing out ideas of the story. So we leave out Moshe. It's also strange, right? We discussed, because it's all about God. Pesach's all about God. We downplay to the point that it's not really even true. What do you mean God took us out without a shaliach? What else was Moshe? But that's what we're doing. Just like I said, just like we downplay God in the Megillah, we downplay man in the Haggadah. So Moshe is not mentioned. But Yosef, I think, is not mentioned because we don't want to get into that whole story. It's all about God's redemption, Jewish people. Now there's an illusion, and in a certain sense, maybe we should mention, we have to learn from Yosef. Karpas is an allusion to Yosef. I don't know if I mentioned
Rabbi that. Riskin speaks about Karpas being an allusion to
right,
Yosef.
Right, it's because Rashi, what's Karpas? If you look where it says in the Chumash,
Kor Karpas with Mordechai.
Ketone Pasim. So Rashi right. translates Ketone Pasim is Kor Karpas Utechelet. Karpas right. is fancy schmancy stuff. So it's a fancy appetizer at a fancy meal, but it's fancy clothes when you're Achashverosh or when you're Yosef. So that's the illusion. We don't want to mention him directly. So when we begin to say there, guys, I want you to know, it's not like we ended up in Egypt and God is wonderful and took us out. We ended up in Egypt because we're a bunch of sinners and because we sold our brother down to Egypt. But we don't want, that's not the focus of the Seder, just like Moshe's not the focus. So we allude to Yosef, carpets, and then we allude to him, of course, in Echad Miyodeah. Achadasar miyodeya, achadasar niyodeya, achadasar kochvaya. All right. So the 11 stars in Joseph's dream, right? And by that time, everybody's half asleep and half drunk and who knows what. But, the songs at the end are both, I don't want to say silly children's songs, but they're songs for little kids to have fun and play games. But they, of course, have deep meaning. That's the, like, just like, you know, I'm not into comics, but there's a whole Torah. On comics, right? Comics have deep meaning. And, that's the, it's the little children. I don't know, Bugs Bunny. I don't know, what's I watched as a kid, the guy who fell off the mountain. What was his name? Roadrunner? What was the guy's name? I forget. What was the guy's thinking, right? Who was that? No one knows what I'm talking about on TV.
What? Roadrunner. Right. Wile E. Coyote.
Thank you very much. It's great. I'm so happy everybody watched cartoons as a kid. Anyways, so sorry, hold on. So there are deep meanings in these things. So the songs are really deep, even though they're silly on the surface. A kid asked me in school yesterday, why do we sing this song? What does this mean about some goat? Who cares? Anyways, so we allude to Yosef.
I think the four cups of wine also allude to Yosef in some way.
Yeah, they're one of the, okay, I mentioned before, the reason, okay, you ask any Jew off the street, why do we drink four cups of wine? So everybody's going to tell you about Saiti, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Vilakati. And the one time in my life, I heard Mordechai Breuer, I think the founder of Herzog College, the great expert in Tanakh, that really creative thinker, really phenomenal stuff. So Mordechai Breuer, that's the great grandson of Shmuel Rafael Hirsch. I heard him give a shiur once in my life, and this is what he talked about. He says he made fun of it. His style, he made fun of that reason. Says, of course, that's an after the fact. Number two, once we have four cups of wine, so the Midrash picks up 10 different reasons. One vote safety, vitzalti. One is the by Paro, the word kos or something. I forget. There's something four times by Paro. There are about 10 different things. The reason we have four cups of wine is because there are four parts to the Seder. And we do
it's Paro's. It's Sarah Mashkin.
The cost is mentioned four times. Yeah. It's the word cost. I forget what it is, but thank you. Okay. But we have four cups of wine because there's Kiddush. You always have a cup of wine with Kiddush. I mean, Kiddush is to sanctify the day. Say it's nice when you sanctify the day, have a cup of wine. Then we say the Haggadah. We thank God for all the miracles, and we say Galanu the brach at the end, Gal Yisrael. You have a cup of wine. Then we say Berachat Hamazon. It's always supposed to be with a cup of wine. And then we do Halal. So, and Halal also, Melech Mulaba Tishbachot. We have a cup of wine. So there are four parts of the Seder. Each requires a cup of wine. That's why there are four cups of wine. And if you look in the 10th parak in Arvei Pesachim, the one parak talked about Haggadah, the parak is structured around the four cups of wine. Mazgulo Kosh Sheni, Mazgulo Kosh Sheni, Beit Shammai Omrim, Mavarachala, Hayom Bachar Kachalim. Beit Shammai says, first you say, Mikadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, the Asher Bachar Barna Mikola. You do that first. And then Bor Pirak Up, and then Mazgulos Kosheni, Vichana Ben Shoel. Mazgulos Koshlishi. The whole Seder revolves around four cups of wine, which is kind of interesting. Obviously, the four cups of wine is a rabbinic requirement, but that's the, how the Seder revolves. But getting back to what we were talking about Avodah, and, you know, how we, the same thing can be burden and the same can be wonderful. So the first 11 chapters in Bereishit is the lead up to Abraham. The first 11 chapters in Shemot is the lead up to the redemption. The redemption begins in chapter 12. And then what do we have? Exactly 1 year later. The Sefer Shemot ends exactly 1 year later. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, chapter 12 begins HaChodesh HaZelachem, Rosh Chodeshim. We begin on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Jewish people are told to take the Korban Pesach, etc. And then 1 year later, that's the chapter 40 in Shemot, is the Hakamat HaMishkan. That's not a coincidence, obviously. And that was the goal. The goal of the Exodus was to get out, get the Torah, and build the Mishkan. And but it's building the Mishkan. We start Sefer Shemot with building Avodah Parach, but then we build the house to God. And of course, I think it's such a beautiful idea. The Avodah, it is Avodah. Yeah, we build for God. It's hard work. To be an Eved Hashem is hard work. But you know, that's what it can be. It's a very avodah and avodah. So the Rasha ma'avodah zotachem, who needs this work? This is garbage. In the Torah, of course, ma'avod. It's a very nice question. Ma'avodah zotachem, or it can be a very nice question. Okay. Of course, the idea that so we have to feel we left Egypt, which is, I would say, next to impossible. Maybe, unfortunately, this year, especially for people living in Israel, maybe it's a little bit easier. I don't know. That's not good. But, of course, I don't really necessarily understand this. Behold, over the Archive of the Lord, that's more literally. It means that in every generation, there's Egypt. That's right. I mean, Jewish history is always in the present. We relive Jewish history. That's what we do in all the holidays. So it means what's the Egypt of our generation? So, of course, this is these are the classic, what you learn, when you learn the ideas, the bigger picture, what's Pesach, you read Jonathan Sachs, I think you open up his Haggadah, if I'm not mistaken, the first article, he has some beautiful articles, about freedom. Pesach is the call for freedom, and everybody, it's a worldwide call, that behold over the Archive of the Lord, that's what you do. I mean, every generation, we have an obligation to make sure people leave Egypt. The people who are in servitude around the world, we have to free them. That's what it means. That's really what it means. Okay. And what, of course, the main thing of leaving Egypt is how we treat the stranger. That's the main purpose. 36 times the Gemara says, the Torah tells us, be nice to strangers, immigrants, non-Jews, be nice to all the other people. Because we know what it's like to be an outsider. We were outsiders. That's a very hard, it's so basic. It's so obvious, but we so little pay attention to it. That's the number one, focused idea in the entire Torah, right? You could argue that just because it said the most, Shema is also important. Lots of things are important, but no other idea, perhaps because it's so hard, no other idea is mentioned in the Torah more than the idea to treat the stranger properly. Over and over and over again. Because we were gerim, and of course a ger doesn't mean a convert. It also means a convert, but obviously in this context, it doesn't mean we're a convert. We converted maybe at Har Sinai. The Gemara assumes that there was some form of mass conversion, but that's in Mount Sinai. That's not in Egypt. But okay. So there is Mitzrayim today, unfortunately, and that's the role of the Jew. Pesach is the Jew kind of, even though Pesach is a Jew, very Jewish holiday, it's Sukkot is a more universal holiday, our two sort of major holidays of the year, the 15th and the 15th, the middle of the year, the beginning of the year, right? And that can be done either way. You can say Sukkot is the beginning of the year or the middle. It depends if you're counting the year from Tishrei or Nisan, but they're both in the beginning, both in the middle of the year, right? 6 months apart, unless we have a leap year. Right, so one is a universal holiday, and Pesach is a very Jewish holiday. The non-Jew cannot eat in the Korban Pesach. We focus on us now. Unlike Rosh Hashanah, which is a more, Sukkot, of course, a much more broader, that's Rav Soloveitchik points out that transition. I mean, we have it on Rosh Hashanah too a little bit, but Yom Kippur is very much inwardly focused. And Mincha of Yom Kippur, we start transitioning to worrying about the world, Yonah going to Nineveh. And that leads us into Sukkot. So we're taking a much more universal approach. So even though Pesach, we're focusing on what it means to be a Jew, of course, we have to make sure that the message of Pesach is through the whole world, gets to the whole world. And it's hard work. But it's hard work, not in the Russia sense, it's hard work in the liberating sense. Mamash, Juto Kamash Ma'o, the liberating sense. We have to do so. Hard work can be wonderful. That's as we explained. Okay, I'll add a. The Netziv, the Rosh Yeshiva in Valashin, the last 39 years, the best yeshiva at the time, it attracted the intellectual giants of the world. Second half night, not all of whom were so religious. That's not for now. So the Netziv, in his introduction to the Haggadah, writes that the Haggadah is a reenactment of what we did in the Beit HaMikdash. It's interesting. One of our speakers also spoke about that. I think Shuli spoke a little bit about that. The difference between the Seder time and the Beit HaMikdash and our Seder. It's totally different. The focus was on the Korban Pesach. You didn't sit in your home with 24 guests. Have a Seder. You were like at the Beit HaMikdash. And it was a totally, totally different Pesach than we have. And he says, okay, we want to reenact what we did in the Mikdash. So he says, first of all, he says something interesting. I don't know how many people here wear a kittel at the Seder, but the minhag to wear a kittel, which I think most people, so if you wear a kittel, why do you wear a kittel? Nobody. Okay, nobody wears it.
The children will ask.
So the children, that's the answer to everything about Pesach. Okay, so I think most people associated, like at the wedding, when we're a little bit too
I happy. Felt like Yom Kippur.
Right. Too joyous and too, okay, Yom Kippur might be a slightly different reason. Reminds us of Yom Hamita. So Yisker, right. That Yom Kippur reminds us of the day of death. We do it at a wedding to temper our joy. We break a glass, wear a kittel. So that's, I think, what people say we do it on Pesach. The Netziv says no. The Netziv says the reason is because the Kohanim. It represents the clothes of the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash, which of course had no pockets. Right. But the kittel had no pockets because when you die, you can't take it with you. That's the whole idea. But also in the Beit HaMikdash, there were no pockets, lest somebody be accused of stealing money, which is amazing. But for another time. So, we wash for karpas. That's explained. Well, what are we washing for karpas for? So, I mean, maybe we should always, but people are not strict about that. There is Jewish law says you don't just wash for bread. You wash every time you dip a vegetable in a liquid. You're supposed to wash. So we don't do that. I don't think anybody does that. So the Netziv writes, no, but in the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohanim, because when it's dipped in water, it's susceptible to become impure. Or except one in any liquid. It can be seven liquids make it impure, right? So we have to wash that. So on Pesach night, we're in the Beit HaMikdash. We korach zecher lemikdash kehilo kachas ahilo bezman shebeit hamikdash haya kayam. So it's not just we're leaving Egypt; we're also going to the land of Israel. Now we don't do a zecher lekorban Pesach. And I find this interesting. Why do we take the lulav for 7 days? Because in the Beit HaMikdash, they took the lulav for 7 days, right? The, outside of the Beit HaMikdash, you only take the lulav for 1 day. When the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, no, we have to remember the glory of the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, we're going to take the lulav for 7 days. So why don't we say, we have to remember the glory of the temple, we have to eat roasted lamb for Pesach? Why don't we say that? So they're afraid he'll make a girl. What's the, so I think, I don't know, maybe, I, you know, in other words, why, we have a remembrance to all these other things in the temple. Why not the Korban Pesach? And you know, many people have a custom. They don't eat any roasted meat. They don't even pong. They're so afraid that unless somebody's going to think you're offering this as a sacrifice. Is that really true? Does anybody really think if you lift up the shank bone on your Seder plate, somebody's going to think you're being, I don't know. I've always found that so hard to understand. Really? That's sacrifice. Give me a break. And can't, you know, I don't understand. So I don't know. But so I think the reason is because the Pesach is the real mark of redemption. And the rabbis, you know, we were in exile. We're still in exile. And we still have problems in the world. The rabbis, the Korban Pesach is going too far. We don't want to have a Zecher LaMikdash so much so that we eat the Korban Pesach. You forget that but we always have to temper. So we do Korach and we wear a kittel and we eat karpas. We do all, and we wash our hands. And we do all these other things, but we're not going to remember the Beit HaMikdash because we have to remind ourselves that the Geula is incomplete. That's our job. That's why we have to say there. That's what I've been talking about. That we have to bring about the redemption for people. We have to free people. We have to make a mark in the world. Make the world a better place. Now, just let me throw out the question. What do we do on Pesach to remind ourselves or things to do to ensure that the redemption will be, you know, will be proper, that we won't mess it up? Maybe I'm not phrasing the question like properly, but when you hear the answer, you'll get the question better. We'll play Jeopardy a little bit. So I think there are a few reminders of this idea. That the Pesach is wonderful, but what do you mean? What's so wonderful about Pesach? I'm saying it for Jews, you know, even with the problems in Israel, of course, this year, with the modern state of Israel, the strong state of Israel, Jews are free around the world. Imagine what it's like in Poland, right? So Rabbi Mintz mentioned on Sunday, it was the Pesach Seder was a statement of faith for the Jew that they believe redemption will come. But let's say for us not living in Poland and in persecution and in the, you know, in the Holocaust, we have a lot of reminders not to mess up the message of Pesach, which I said, we have to see as if we left Egypt. So I just quoted one idea. There are other ideas, of course, how to treat the stranger properly. That's the number one idea the Torah emphasizes in our Exodus from Egypt. So I have a few ideas. You can add more. Atbash. Right? The way our calendar works is the first night of Pesach and Tisha B'Av is always on the same day. This upcoming year, in a few months, Tisha B'Av will be on Monday night. And it's always that way. And that's why some people say we eat the egg, or we eat the egg on Pesach, because the egg reminds the food of mourning. What do we bring in Tisha B'Av? Again, it's a reminder, just like we allude to Yosef. We have to remind ourselves of all the problems we did. Don't mess up because Pesach is the holiday where Jews come together. We invite the stranger. How do we begin the Seder? Call the Chvinyei TV so everybody can come in and be welcome. Who do we welcome to our Seder? We have to welcome the wicked Jew, the Rasha. He's at the table. Thank God. We have to bring him to the table. And then we have to welcome the ignorant Jew, the Sheino Yedei Lishaol. We have to welcome them all to the Seder. What was Tisha B'Av when the Jews were divided? Pesach is about Jews are united. This is when we became a nation. So we have to remind ourselves. By the way, Rabbi Mintz also mentioned, you know, there are three themes in Halach Manya, right? This is the bread of affliction we ate in Egypt. Everybody who's hungry can come and join our Seder. Okay, I'm not going to talk about. And next year, this year we're here. Next year we'll be redeemed. So I don't think he said what I'm about to say now. Is that what's the connection? So it's what we're talking about. When you understand that we ate matzah as slaves, we were slaves. So you're going to welcome people to your home. You're going to recognize the importance of Hakhnasat Orchim. So it's because we were slaves in Egypt that we have the sensitivity to invite people to our home. And if we have the sensitivity to invite people to our home, then we can say, God, okay, bring the redemption. This year we're enslaved. Next year, please God, there'll be peace in Israel. I mean, I think what happened on Saturday night is like a mini Yetziat Mitzrayim. God passed over our homes and missiles were coming from all over the place. I was just talking to somebody who was Naphtali, Naphtali Winter was in Israel for the weekend. They went in for a wedding. So I was speaking to him yesterday. So he told me, I said, what was it like on Saturday night? He said it was unbelievable. Like, I'm sure David can confirm this. They announced missiles are coming in, but they were going to take time, and they're just sitting there, like waiting, like nobody knows what's going to happen. And they told him the wedding has to be canceled. He went in for, and then unbelievable. I mean, I'm sitting here, David, you can, I'm sure, confirm a thousand times more than I can, how miraculous this is. And the idea that basically, you know, I hope this Bedouin girl is doing better. I haven't heard, but one serious injury, it's unbelievable. Nisi miniflat, you can explain it in natural ways, but it doesn't take away from the amazing miracle. So let's hope that continues. So that's what we say in Halak Manya. We recognize we were slaves. Therefore, we're going to be nice to people. We're going to pay them. And therefore, we can ask God to redeem the Jewish people. And that's, of course, brings us back to Avraham Avinu, who teaches us that Gadol HaKnasar Orkei Mekabal Epnei Hashkina, that greater is the welcoming of guests, you know, the famous Rashi, and based on the Gemara, that God comes to Avraham, Vayera Elav Avraham, God, you know, he's recovering from the Brit Milah. God is modeling the mitzvah, a Bikur Cholim. Jews have to do, we have to model God, we have to copy God. God came to visit Abraham, so we have to visit people. And while God is visiting Abraham, Abraham sees three Arabs walking in the street there, and in the desert, and he welcomes God. I'll talk to you later. Goodbye, God. And it's unbelievable. And where I said, that's great. That's great. It's more important to welcome guests than to, oh, I'm so relieved. I'm talking to God. Wow. What an amazing moment. Like if you think about the spiritual growth, there, what can be more important than talking to God? Not even from the, like, it's not nice, just from his own point. Amazing. No, that's not good. And a very little, I don't want to make it almost mundane, but Daniel Feldman, Rabbi Daniel Feldman has in his book, he has two, at least three actually, wonderful books on Ben Adam L'Chaveiro Mitzvot. Really, people don't write about it so much. The halachas of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. So he has a whole chapter on the mitzvah of Knesset Orkim. And he says, you know, you have some poor guest, your second cousin in, not so religious. You have him over for lunch on Shabbos, and you have to go to Mincha. So he says, you don't go to Mincha. You know what we're going to tell you? He's not interested. You're not going to Mincha, so you don't go to Mincha either. Like you're doing the mitzvah of Achnasat Orkin. If you're having your neighbors who are religious, like we invite our friend, that doesn't count. That's not real Achnasat Orkin. I mean, it's nice. I'm not saying anything wrong with it. But it's not really Achnasat Orkin. Achnasat Orkin is somebody that doesn't have a place to go. The poor, the people we don't want to invite as much to. You know, so and therefore we begin the Seder like that. We begin the Seder with this idea that, you know, again, the matzah, we go from slavery to freedom. We're going to transition the whole idea. But so we can't have a zecher lePesach. We can't, zecher, that's too much. When things are good, then we can reinstate the Korban Pesach. I'll say, it's very interesting along these lines. Let me show it to you. I'll share my screen I haven't done that for a while. Okay, so I've always been, let's see, the story of the five rabbis. Where are they? Where are the five rabbis? Why can't I see this? Five rabbis. Oh, here we go. Okay. The debate, towards the beginning, a very, you know, beautiful story. The rabbis are up all night and very nice. And then Rabbi Lezer Ben Ezer says, you know, I'm like 70, whatever, we're not going to go into that now. And, although we know 70 is an important number in Judaism, I think many people are aware of the fact that he was young and they made it to look old, but I think it's the reason there's 70. 70 Jews went down to Egypt. So we're talking about the Seder night. I'm like 70 years old. That's obviously an allusion to the 70 Jews who went down to Egypt. And I didn't merit, you know, there's a whole debate. Are you supposed to say the Exodus at night? You have to remember the Exodus every day, but almost every day, we do once a day. They do lulav once a day, matzah at night. One, very few mitzvot we do twice. Every mitzvah you do once. So you have to remember Egypt every day. So they have to remember it at night. So that's the big kol yemei chayecha. Yemei chayecha, yemei chayecha. I mean, kol yemei chayecha, halelot, fine. The chachamim amrim, the sages say, no, yemei chayecha means in this world, but you only say it once a day. You don't have to say it twice a day. Kol yemei chayecha lahavi limot haMashiach. Just to bring to the days of Mashiach. So what does that mean? It means even in the Messianic era, we will say, talk about the Exodus. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Zalman, we won't. But according to Ben Zalman, we're not going to have a Seder, or at least not about Pesach. Ooh, a Pesach, the Exodus, that would be nothing. That's nothing compared to the future redemption. There's no need to mention it anymore. Like the Rambam says, all the holidays will be canceled except Purim. Right? That's an amazing statement, but that's, we have sources like that in our tradition. But so even in the Messianic era, but I was always bothered, what's this expression, lahavi limot haMashiach, to bring to the day, in other words, even in the days, it's like it's such a weird expression. It says, afilu limot haMashiach, or like yimei chayecha hayamim ko yimecha lehalilot, yimei chayecha olam hazeh, ko yimei chayecha limot haMashiach. What's this lahavi limot haMashiach? So I think that's exactly what God is telling us. You want to bring the Mashiach, mention Egypt. Now, it doesn't mean mention Egypt. You have to remember Egypt every day. It doesn't mean so we fulfill that mitzvah technically by saying the third paragraph of the Shema. We mention Egypt every day, but that's not what it means. To mention Egypt every day means to learn the message of Egypt. You want to bring the Mashiach, lahavi limot haMashiach. If we can remember the message of the Exodus every day, and you don't have to do it day and night, according to once, you know, but it means if you can apply the message of the Exodus, be nice to strangers, that's what we're focusing on here. That is lahavi limot haMashiach. That will bring us to the Messianic era. That's what I think it means. I think it's, in that sense, a very beautiful idea. That's what's going to lead us to the Mashiach. Okay. Just like, by the way, if the Gemara says that, why do we say, what do we do on Yom Kippur? We say the Yud Gimel Midot. Why do we say the Yud Gimel Midot? The 13 attributes of God, Hashem, Hashem, Racham, Racham, say it 100 times. Liam, just trying to say it over and over and over and over again. So the Gemara says, Vayavor Hashem al pana vayikra. God passed over and he said, and the Gemara says, Ilmalema mikra katuvi of Shalom Ro. If the Torah didn't say this, the Torah doesn't exactly say it, but whatever. If the Torah hadn't said so, we would be forbidden to say such a thing. I love, they have that a few times before. If the Torah hadn't said it, it'd be forbidden to say it because it's heresy. It teaches that God wrapped himself in a talit. And he says, whenever you sin, yasu lefanai kaseder, that you should do this order. What do we do? The yud gimel midot. And it's Hashem, Hashem, Racham Echanu. It doesn't say you should say the 13 attributes. I should have brought them more, but it says you have to do the Yud Gimel each attributes. The same way God is merciful, we're merciful. The same way God is patient, we're patient. The same way God is kind, we're kind. The same way God is forgiving, we're forgiving. It's not to say, you know, if you think you're banging off, it's ridiculous. It's to do it. So it's the same thing. We have to do the Egypt. We have to do the message of Egypt. And with that, maybe we can explain one other thing. So I told Rabbi Liebtag on Sunday that he's, for the Yom Ha'Yun, that he is to talk about Avadim Hayinu and the five rabbis and Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. And then the next speaker is that you're going to talk on the Arba Banim, the four children. So Rabbi Liebtag objected a little bit. He alluded to it when he spoke. He said, no, Baruch HaMakom is part of the four children. It's not the conclusion. In other words, is Baruch HaMakom the conclusion of Rav Elazar ben Azarim like 70 years, or is it the introduction to the four children? So I think most people assume it is the introduction to the four children. I don't know. I don't know what most people assume. I don't know if anybody knows what's it doing here. What does it have to do with anything? We have Kiddush and Karpas and Yachatz and Halak Manya and Manishtana and Habadim Hayinu and the five, and all of a sudden, blessed is God.
The Rav says it's like Berchas HaTorah.
Okay, very nice. But before, you know, the Lambda, so like for the Pasha, the Jew, forget the Lambda. It's very nice. Yeah, I understand. Right? Why is there no Bracha on that Gada? Very nice. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. But why are we saying it here? So some people say because we thank God for all our children, even when we have children who we don't turn out the way we are. So it introduces, because the word Makom is what I want to focus on is the word Makom. Makom is a difficult word. As far as I know, there are three, I'm afraid now, Rabbi Ammon will hopefully correct me if I make any mistakes, but that there are only three times we use the word HaMakom in a reference to God, like in our, you know, in our day-to-day living. One, of course, Rachmana Lislan at a Shiva home, that hamakom yinachem etchem. On Yom Kippur, al dar hamakom v'al dar hakahal, we begin Yom Kippur al hakam and at the Seder, baruch hamakom. Why? Because makom is a distant God. Makom means God is somewhere, God is everywhere, but I don't feel the presence of God. I know God's out there. You go to a shivas, the mourner's disconnected from God. That's why before the funeral, he's not even allowed. He's forbidden to do mitzvah. Are you crazy? So, okay, at the shiva, he has to do mitzvah, but he doesn't feel any connection to God. Hamakom yinachem, the place somewhere is far. Yom Kippur, we come, we're a bunch of sinners. Erev Yom Kippur, that's the imagery. Bar al dar hamakom, we end Yom Kippur, Hashem hu Elohim, seven times, Hashem hu Elohim, Hashem hu Elohim, Hashem hu, God is our, the Lord is our God. Wow. We've transitioned from this distant God. By the end of Yom Kippur, we're a different person, you know, we're purified. And, but what's it doing at the Seder? What's Baruch HaMakom doing at the Seder? Seder is such a wonderful day. So I think it's along the lines of what I've been saying, perhaps, that, what do you mean the Seder is so great? Not so great. We look at all the problems in the world. We don't have a Korban Pesach. We got so much slavery, war, terrible things. So we, yes, it's very wonderful, but, you know, within limits. Baruch HaMakom. So, and, you know, you have to think of Jew in Auschwitz. You have to think of Jew in the Khmelnytsky massacres, or even in between, even a Pasha Jew in Russia in the 19th century living in the Pale of Settlement, right? It's not so easy to celebrate. So Baruch HaMakom, we thank God. So, but it's, you know, it could be both, the lead up to the four children, but I thought it's really, and this is, I got to say, Rav Rimon, in his Haggadah, Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon, we spoke, I think, about this 2 years ago. Rav Rimon has a beautiful analysis of the Seder, where it says we basically tell the same story four times. And the first time is through the, we always begin with questions. So I'm not going to go through the whole thing. You can listen, whatever, afterwards, just for time constraints. But the Haggadah four times begins with questions. Manishtana halayla zeh mikol halaylot. That's the first way. That's the basic way to tell the story. Food, physical stuff. Then we go, chachamahu omer rasha omer. It's a more intellectual discussion, right? What's the meaning? But we begin with questions. Then we say, say ulmad ma bikesh Lavan arumi lasot. Go out and learn, what did Lavan do? And then Rabban Gamliel omer, pesach zeochlim al shuma. What do you mean? So those are the four stages to the Haggadah, each one having a different purpose, because fortunately you have to tell the Seder. Some people are inspired like this, some people are inspired by that, four different ways, and each one concludes with a song. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, which is, and then he's doing it in a very positive way. So Baruch HaMakom is the conclusion of the first part of the Seder, the first of the four stories of the Seder, and then we get to Chachamahu Omer. But the word Makom is Lavin Limod HaMashiach. We just said we want to bring the days of the Mashiach, but you know what? We haven't. We haven't succeeded. And as Gemara says, every generation which doesn't bring the Mashiach, it's as if they that we don't rebuild the temple, it's as if we destroyed it. What difference is it? If we were worthy, we would have rebuilt it. So that's perhaps why we say Labi Limana Mashiach, and we say Baruch HaMakom. We bless God. Things are not as great as we would like. There's a distance. Okay. Then we have the four children. Okay, let me, I just thought of something literally this morning, right? So often I think of things while I'm speaking. So, you know, that's pretty early if I thought of it this morning. But, so why are there four children? Because there are four discussions in the Torah. I really have to check, you know, I always say, and of course it is true, that the four children is because there are four conversations recorded in the Torah. We discussed Mavo Dazotchem, your child will say to you, Vayaki Yisholcha Bincha, Machar Lemor. And then one time, Vamarta, Vigarta Lebincha. There's no question, that's the Shein Ed Yisholcha. There must be, but I don't really know if anybody would love to hear. Are there other discussions in the Torah between a child and a parent that sort of aren't included as one of the four children? Like, are these the only four times in the Torah that there's sort of a discussion? It says, Vishinanta Lebanecha. So that's also could be Vigadat al Bit. Okay, maybe a little different. But is there any time where there is a child approaching a parent? That's what we have here. And that's where that guy that picked up the four children. Because they're the children.
When Avram is taking Yitzhak, and Yitzhak asked him, where's
Ayah?
Right, so that's interesting. So I would say two things. First of all, that's not, we're talking more the laws, but why not? In other words, it's not where all of these questions have to relate to why do we have to be Jewish? That's what the four children are asking. Why be Jewish? Why in 2024 should we be observant Jews? Well, come on, let's just be humanists. Let's just talk. Why do we need this kashrut still? No, I'm. By the way, that's a very legitimate question. It's not so easy to know why we have to keep kosher. Like, tell a Jew who's not brought up the way. Why? What's the purpose of it? And you know, I think these questions, David, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, are asked much more in Israel. We in Chutz Laretz understand that really our connection to Judaism is through mitzvah, through Torah, through shuls. In Israel, you can connect to Judaism with the army. What better connection is there to the Jewish people than serving in the army? I mean, there's so many different ways. You don't need religion, and that's you have a lot of that. A lot of people say, I'm very Jewish. My Judaism is really important, but I don't have to express it through this adaptive but until in every day, please. Not so important. I don't know. So we question that. That's so, I think Yitzchak asking his father where the Selah is very nice, but it's not really the same thing. I don't know. But interesting. So, but I hear that. But if you have any, where else you can let me know. I don't know. Maybe there aren't any. So we just, so of course, who's the most like tragic of the kids? Is the Sheino Yad Elishol. Halavai, we had more Rishayim. As I always say, halavai, we had more people doing Avodah Zarah instead of being seculars. And we had more Terachs so we could have more Avrahams, right? Avraham is just, that's why we mentioned Terach, as we discussed. Avraham, son of Terach, was brought up religiously, just not the 100% correctly. So halavai, we had the Russia we can deal with. Argue, he wants to argue, great. And so Sheino Yad Elishol, disinterested, he's so ignorant, they don't even know where to begin. I wanted to know, and I just throw this out because I thought of this at 9 o'clock this morning. What if you have a Sheino Yodei Lahashiv? The kid asks the parent, right? That's a gada. So there's a Sheino. What about when the parent says a Sheino Yodei Lahashiv? When the parent doesn't know how to answer. So I don't know. I don't know why I thought of that, but I think that's the obligation of the observant community. That Dama Lahashiv, we say, and it's not just to an epicurus, right? In Pirkei Avot, we say, know how to answer the heretic. It's not only heretic, you have to know how to answer everybody. You have to know how to answer everybody. But anyways, you can think about that. Okay. It's getting late. I'm going to talk with you and then take questions. I'm sorry, Rachel, yeah, what do you want to say?
I wanted to say that for someone who doesn't know Lahashiv, say Ulman. In other words, you have to learn yourself.
Beautiful. So that comes, say Ulman.
Answer your children's questions.
Right. That comes a little bit later. That comes a little bit later, but I like that. Yeah, say Ulman. Go in and learn. By the way, I said it in my podcast. I did this week a long podcast on the Haggadah. So I mentioned there, I say, Umad, go out and learn. Go out and learn. I think that's such a fascinating expression. You know how you learn? You have to go out of your comfort zone. We live in echo chamber. Today, our political world is so echo chambered. Everybody, they live. They only, you know, people who think like them. Nobody wants. I remember Rav Lichtenstein lived in Giva Mordechai for many years. I remember we asked him, is it better to live in a religious neighborhood or not? So he discussed the pros and cons. But Lamaisa, Rav Lichtenstein lived in a secular neighborhood. He lived with other Jews. It's important that people see other Jews. Not everybody should think alike. That's terrible. We want a shul where their sinners are welcome. That's what we do in Yom Kippur, the Seder. Say, Umad, you got to. If you really want to learn, you want to grow in your learning, go out to somebody who you totally disagree with and learn with them. Learn from them, with them, right? Say Omad, go out. But yeah, say Omad, everything. Okay, we have to stop here. Now, I did this the last 2 years, and I'm happy to do maybe 45 minutes. And I know it's a little bit crazy, but that's sort of who I am. I'm happy to give a shiur on Monday morning. You know, by Monday, everybody should be ready for Pesach. I don't know if anybody will come. If would anybody come? I mean, I don't know. You don't have to commit. Nobody has to commit to coming. But I'll send it, and I totally get it. But there's more to discuss, and why not? I mean, So I'll try. I'll send out a shiur. Maybe be a little bit shorter than usual, but just
you make it a little later.
A little later. Why? Are you a Bechor?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to make it too late, Eric, but I'd like to finish earlier. I can make it 9:16, you know, but okay, we'll see. But okay, thank you. Okay, let's just do a quick review and then I'll take questions. I am teaching in 6 minutes here in chat today, or back to the old schedule today, so I do have to run. Okay, so we discussed, quote, door by door, that we have to see ourselves as leaving Egypt, the transition. The matzah, going from slavery to freedom, slavery and freedom are just opposite sides of the same coin. Avodah can be a burden terrible to the Egyptians, but it can also be, Avodah could also be building a sanctuary for God. We can serve God, can be for some people liberating, freedom, beautiful. I frees me from all the human foibles, or serving God can be a pain in the butt and, or worse. And that's for the Rasha. Avodah Zot Lachem is terrible. In the Torah, Avodah Lachem is a nice question. Why do we do that? And therefore, the matzah has to be this same idea. Of course, we have to leave, we see ourselves as leaving Egypt. That's in every generation. As we have our own Egypt. We have our own problems that we have. And then we discussed in the Tzid that not only do we leave Egypt, we have to go to the Beit HaMikdash. We have to reenact the idea of living in the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, we wash for karpas, we wear a kittel, we say korach, but we don't do a zecher lePesach. We don't eat a shank bone, like we eat the matzah, we eat the marrow to remind ourselves. So why not eat the korban pesach? We eat the meat to remind us. No. Well, that's too far because we're not there yet. Our pesach is not really the way it should be, and therefore it's the same night of Tisha B'Av to remind us we better treat the stranger well. We better not divide the people. We invite everybody. Halach manya, and inviting guests is greater than greeting God. So the goal is to love Bili Mother Mashiach, that through this we can actually bring, if we mention, we do, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the lessons, then we will be Limot HaMashiach. I didn't, of course, Eliyahu, I didn't mention that before, but that's one of the reasons, of course, we invite Eliyahu to the Seder. That's the Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol. And that, of course, is what we do at the Seder. We don't Baruch HaMakom, why we use the word HaMakom, it's not complete. And we God's a little bit distant, the Mashiach's not here, our Pesach's not, we don't feel Hashem Lo Elohim so much. Necessarily. And then we discuss, I just mentioned the 4 points in that God that we ask questions for every one. You can read more about that really very beautiful idea that we tell that God the 4 different ways. Okay, let me quickly go through the questions. And then, okay, let there be peace among us. Yeah, please. Okay. Doesn't Terach bring Avram to Nimrod because of his beliefs? In the Medrash, right. Yes, the Midrash portrays Terach in a much more negative sense than the Torah does. That's true about all the The Medrash portrays Yaakov more positively and Esav more negative. That's what Medrash does. Medrash see things as black and white, but that's not for now. But in the Torah, in the Pshat of the Chumash, Terach's a great guy. He's the first Zionist. I assume the rabbi means until that point, Avram served idols. Yes, of course, that was my point. All right, someone say, Laban caused the rift between the brothers. Ah, that's very nice. I never thought of that. Thank you, Yocheved. Laban caused the rift. That's beautiful. Right? I don't know why I didn't think of it. It's so obvious. Thank you. Right, because he tricked Yaakov into marrying Leah, of course, that's why all the fighting began. Very good. Okay, what about Ger Yezer Chavar Lolehem? I'm not sure what you mean, Eric, by that question. Ger Yezer Lolehem. That's God. Oh, yes.
You said that we are bad people because Yosef, the brothers, the Kina, but it was predestined. Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Abraham, Brit Ben Abtarim.
That's true about everything. That's God. God knows everything. It's the same question. How do we have free will? You are correct. And I need more time. Maybe on Monday I can allude to it briefly, but it doesn't take away from our free choice. And as you know, the commentaries do debate was the main reason for we had to go to Egypt, God's promise, or because we sinned. And the Ramban clearly says because we sinned. On more than one occasion. Many verses that we went to Egypt because we sinned. And the rabbis say because of a silly cult, we ended up in Egypt. It doesn't take away. It's a very good point, but I don't, even though they sound contradictory, they are not.
You also have Kura Barzel and
Lavi. Yeah, 100%.
Going to care 100%, of God.
That's true. Maybe it would have been not as bad. It's a good point. I don't have time to develop it further. I'm sorry. You have to go teach in a minute. And it's true. Originally, there were 3 cups of wine. Well, I have no idea. I've never heard that. There were 3 cups of wine. The Christian's Trinity, I never heard such a thing. We do have things that Danny Sperber has a whole chapter in his book. Ninagim influenced by Christianity, things we don't. He says the way we shake the lulav. We don't shake a lulav like this, so it won't look like a cross. They're all using white wine, so that's for anti-Semitism, so we shouldn't think it's a blood libel. Right, there was a minhag in the Middle Ages to use white wine, even though red wine is generally the preferred wine from a halakha point of view. But this way, you know, they can't accuse us of taking the blood. The blood libels, unfortunately. There is evidence that the Jews, including the rabbis, still ate Korban Pesach. Yes, yes. They also probably brought the Korban Pesach. In the 1800s, there was huge discussions about bringing the Korban Pesach without a Beit HaMikdash. Again, a very important subject. It's a little bit off topic for us. Yes, you can possibly bring the Korban Pesach. And I don't know, today, is there any movement in Israel? I know the Samaritans, but people go, I assume, yeah, David shaking his head. I assume there are people in Israel, religious Jews, probably from our camp. If I can use that word, you know, people more or less, you know, the same worldview who would say, bring back the Korban Pesach. No, that doesn't excite me so much. I want to wait till the Jews are more united to worry about the Korban Pesach, but that's me. Okay. I do not want to be a stick in the mud. Why not? But the word levi does not mean to bring, including. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So I said, okay, let's see. But it can also mean to bring, no? Can't it also mean to bring?
In Hebrew, it's including.
It can't be both.
It can be okay, both.
Okay, wipe that out. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't know. But maybe, okay. Maybe that's why that's my original thought and I didn't see it anywhere else. I don't know. But okay, I appreciate you being a stick in the mud. Thank you. Okay, but I still like the idea, even if the words don't say it. I still think the idea has merit. But okay, Mordechai also referred to God as Mimakom Acher. Okay, thank you. Very good. Although that's not what I was talking the way we express ourselves. Yeah, the word makom appears in other places. But yes, thank you for that. Rav Yaakov made down a certain sense, I really have to go. Is on the highest level zero of Damnesia or Harsina? Ah. So that's the question. Is the Tam? Is the Tam a great? And other Shayna, he's not asking any questions. That's a very, I think, very modern explanation. I don't think that's a simple shot. But again, nothing like Lavi, if you can, you know, you can do your own interpretation. But the same thing, is the Tam simple or the Tam pure? Yaakov Ishtam, we can think about that. Okay. Rav Lichtenstein lived in Old Katamon, am I correct? But was Rav Amital who lived in Giva Mordechai. So both Rav, thank you for that correction too. Rav Lichtenstein lived in Old Katamon, but it was also a mixed neighborhood, the same idea. Okay, thank you very much, everybody. Want to wish a Chag Sameach, a peaceful holiday, a beautiful holiday. And Rabbi Liebtag will be giving a shiur on Sunday, and please God, I'll send out for my shiur on Monday. But everybody be well. Have a meaningful, beautiful Pesach. And we'll be with you soon. I do have to run. Send me by email any questions. So
maybe okay. You could do the shiur on Sunday rather than Monday.
Okay. Let me think about that. Okay. I hear that. Yeah. I hear
less
that.
Less stressful.
Is that better for
people? Yeah.
Yeah. How's that for an idea?
I only want to say Monday because I believe in learning like every day. It's not so much that there should be a shiur, even Erev Pesach. That's my reasoning. But you prefer it on Sunday. Okay. If 10 more people tell me they'll come, I'll do it on Sunday. Okay.
Yes, I think Sunday is a good idea as well.
I'm sorry?
Sunday is a better, much better idea.
Okay, Sunday. Fine. Thank you for that. Okay. What time?
Okay. In the morning?
Before or after Rabbi Liebtag? I'll do it before Rabbi Liebtag. 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll send out an email, but I got to run. Thank you for that.
Okay.
I do what the people want. I'm your servant, right? Okay. Thank you very much. Shabbat shalom. Okay. Shabbat.